Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Reverend Rock Dog, and I'm the announcer for the Radio Happy Hour. You may recognize my voice from such clips as GetBack.com presents the Pop Culture IQ. And who can forget this little gem?
It's another bathroom innovation brought to you by the Radio Happy Hour.
I'm here to welcome you to part two of the Best of Blogsteam 2009. You're about to hear some of the funniest, most interesting, and exciting moments and interviews over the past year. Let's get to the action.
You remember him as Kanicki from Grease or Bobby Wheeler from Taxi, the character he played on that sitcom. A lot of people remember him as the drugged-up crazy mofo from Celebrity Rehab, you storming off Celebrity Rehab, not even completing it. Jeff Conway joins us. Jeff?
Hi, how you doing? I'm just trying to see if I can tear myself away from these drugs.
Obviously, that's the first...
I don't have time for an interview. I'm doing too many drugs.
You can joke now about it, right? How
yeah,
are you?
I can joke about it.
Are
I'm doing great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing great. I've been clean since my operation, which was November 20th, and I'm doing great. I'm standing up. I'm walking. I'm talking. I'm chewing gum. You know, I'm doing all the most important things in life.
Yeah, you definitely sound a lot better than you did. I mean, the last time any of us saw you was on your last ever appearance on Celebrity Rehab. You're in a wheelchair. You can barely understand what you're saying. You definitely sound a lot better.
Well, that's because I feel better.
You feel better. Now, you do realize that you're announcing your sobriety on a show called The Radio Happy Hour.
Well, cheers.
Right, right.
Are you off everything, even pain medication?
No, we're cutting back on my pain medication. We've started this slow detox. I'll have a drink once in a while, like before I go to sleep or something. I mean, I'm not a drinker per se, but you know, if I feel like having one before nightcap before I go to bed, it helps me sleep sometimes.
Is that allowed? I mean, how?
Right.
I mean, doesn't get you right back into it?
No. You know, everything in moderation. You know, some things not at all. But, you know, other things that you don't get sent to jail for, if you can deal with that in moderation, then, you know, you're fine, you know?
Now, the man that is responsible, or at least you're responsible, but the man who helped you along is on the line also. His name is Johnny Wimbrey. You're a life coach, Johnny?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. How you doing?
Cheers, Jeff. I love that. That was a good one.
So, Johnny, you got guts, Johnny, because you're coming out publicly as the guy who made or helped get Jeff Conway sober. Now, you know his track record.
Yeah,
you want
his track record, and I know my track record.
So I guess you're confident that this is it. He's sober.
Well, I mean, confidence comes from within. I can't be confident in Jeff's future more than he's confident in himself. I'm riding on his day-to-day confidence. When Jeff looks me in the eye and he says, Johnny, you know, I want to do this. I want to make it to the finish line. As his coach, I'm going to help him get to the finish line. You know, change is a door that can only be opened from the inside. I don't have the power to change Jeff, but as long as Jeff is entertaining the change as an option, I'll be there for him.
You're not a doctor, right?
I am not a doctor.
What are you? You're a former drug addict yourself, or at least a drug dealer.
Yeah, ex-drug dealer. Jeff and I would have been really good buddies early back in the days. No.
Well, weren't we? Wasn't everybody a drug dealer at one point in their life?
Oh.
Yeah. What kind of show is this? Here's the bottom line. You know, I'm not a soothsayer in any shape, form, or fashion. I don't claim to have all the answers. I believe that when you help somebody find the answer, then they get to take credit for it. And I've been able to help people on a global scale around the world. Literally, I have clients all over the world that I've worked with, not just with drugs, but in terms of breakthrough, financial breakthrough, emotional breakthrough. It's the exact same principles. The same principles that help someone you know, quit smoking cigarettes. The same principles that helps a father begin to love his children the way that he should. The exact same principles exist in any obstacle that you're looking to overcome. Obviously, the roadmaps may be different, but the fundamental principles are exactly the same.
Jeff, you say
now,
you've been...
Could you say that in English?
That's a good point. I was going to say that, guys.
Jeff.
No, it was very well said, very well put, Johnny. Johnny's great. He goes right to the heart of the matter and dives right in, and he's
but
really
what,
a special
But what
guy.
Has he been able to do for you, Jeff, that Dr. Drew wasn't able to do, or that other, you've been to therapy off of TV before?
I mean, Dr. Drew told me, you know, forget it, it's all over. You know, he told me, you know, you're never going to get better. This is it. This is as good as it's going to get. And I refused. I said, you think I'm buying that? I am going to walk again. I'm going to stand straight again. I'm going to be without pain again. These are all absolutes. This is not, I'm not entertaining the idea. This is something that's actually going to happen. And it's actually happening. Now, I think Dr. Drew is a wonderful, great man, and he means the best, but we're all only people, and we all have our opinions, and he came up lacking in this one, you know, and I was shocked when he said these things to me. I couldn't believe I was hearing this out of supposedly a motivator's mouth. You know, somebody who motivates somebody to get better and go as far as they can, you know, him telling me, forget it, this is, you know, what are you going to do for the rest of your life, you know, how are you going to make money? I mean, am I in the right, did I come to the right planet? Stop the world, I want to get off, you know?
You think it was maybe a case of he was trying tough love?
No, I think he told me I was in denial. You know, he said I was in denial that you know, it wasn't going to happen, and he said no operations could help me, and, you know, and I've had five, you know, the first four didn't help me, you know, but I wasn't giving up. I was either not going to have a back or I was going to have a new one. It just so happens that I have a new back. I got 28 screws in my back, and
wow.
I've got, I'm fused from T4 all the way down to the sacrum, and but you know, it's not as painful as it used to be, and I can stand up straight, and
okay.
Bravo.
You know,
so are you planning,
you know,
or do you look forward to one day seeing Dr. Drew face to face and saying, ha, I told you so?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and that's exactly the way I'm going to say it. I'm going to say, ha ha, I told you so. Ha ha, I told you so.
Let me say something in the midst of everything that's going on.
Yeah, John.
First and foremost, when you talk about Dr. Drew, obviously the good definitely outweighs the bad, and I try to look at the character of an individual.
Definitely.
The work that they've completed, not the work that they weren't able to be a part of the completion process. And also, you know, with Jeff, if you look at the video, we're on the outside looking in. We don't know what's going on when the video is off. But according to the video, according to the show, according to what we saw, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And what we saw with Jeff was a duck. Jeff was saying,
yeah.
Listen, what we saw from our side was a loser, somebody who was throwing in the towel and saying, I know you care about me, but I don't care about myself. Just let me be. That's what the world saw. When I met Jeff, that's not what I saw. So I don't want to take anything away from Dr. Drew. I know entertainment, and I know how it works. But when you're looking at somebody like Jeff, and when I met with him for the first time, I saw the eye of the tiger. I saw something inside him that just said, listen, I want to win. And, you know, Vince Lombardi said it best. He said, winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. And when I saw Jeff, I saw someone who wanted to win.
I thought Vince Lombardi said winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
No, he said winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is.
I'll have to Wikipedia that. Although, dangerously, I have figured out why or how Johnny was able to get Jeff sober. Because
huh?
I'm sober right now. And with all his flowery language and his analogies, I don't understand what he's saying. I can't imagine trying to do it while drunk.
I talk to people like they're five, so we can start all over.
Well, that's a good thing because we never really reach past five. Why don't I give you to Vicky and you can talk to her and she can talk to you about the CD we're coming out with, and
I'm coming out
with a book. And
We're shocked that you're still together. We're shocked that this is not a toxic relationship.
Oh, no, this is a great relationship. But you know, the thing is, we don't hold back. You know, if we're upset, we're upset. If we're not upset, we're not upset. When we're loving, we're completely loving. I mean, this is an all-or-nothing relationship. I mean, we give it everything we have, and we're not afraid to talk to each other. And that's part of the honesty we share.
Do you help keep each other clean?
Oh yeah. It wouldn't work otherwise. You know, if one was using and the other one wasn't, then it's not going to work. It has to work where both of you have the same goal and both of you want the same thing. Because otherwise it's an impossibility. I've seen it happen, go down the drain many, many times before in my life. But let me give you to Vicky.
All right. While you're getting Vicky on the phone, I'm gonna ask Johnny. You think this is good? That you think Vicky's good for him and he's good for Vicky? Because we saw how combustible their relationship is. It even got violent on Celebrity Rehab. He kissed her.
Yeah.
Oh no, are we going there?
We gotta go there, Vicky. Hey, Vicky.
Well, he had an itch. What can I say? No, you know, Jeff, the violence, you know, on the TV, you know, I've been to Jeff's acting school many times, and he's an amazing coach, and he taught me in his acting school this emotional exercise, and when you're in the moment, and that moment is anger, you go with it, damn the consequences, you go where the moment takes you, and I feel that that's what he did at that moment in time, and he really wasn't with it because he was trying to get off the meds, and he was detoxing, and it was a horrible thing, but, you know, fight like cats and dogs?
I got Chris Brown calling in. He wants to hire you as his defense attorney.
Stop it.
Tell him I'll take him on.
So Johnny was about to explain why it is good that you two are still together.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily an explanation. It's what I saw. And I started out with questions, asking Vicky and Jeff questions. And I was very, you know, upfront, and I asked, you know, do you think that she's enabling you or is she pushing you towards your destiny? And that's the bottom line. And the exact same thing goes the opposite way. I think we put a lot of attention on Jeff because of who he is, but we also, you know, Vicky's a human being too. And, you know, we all have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if they're fighting together and they're fighting to win together, that's something that I can work with. Now, and if I saw something that was, you know, distracting one or the other, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I don't love Jeff more than I love Vicky. I don't love Vicky more than I love Jeff. I try my best to treat them as equals. I will be bold enough, because I have nothing to lose, to tell them, listen, you got to drop this. You got to drop this if this is where you want to go. And as of now, I haven't even had to think about that yet. They're in each other's corners and they're fighting to win, and I love it.
Johnny, he's only been sober since November. How come you're out now calling this a success?
I've never said it's a success.
I think because Jeff and I both believe that it is a success, because after that fifth successful surgery, we were so elated that God gave us that miracle back, that God returned Jeff's life to him. And we were so thankful that we just decided to go the right path, do the right thing. And we have been successful at it ever since. And we're doing great. Jeff is playing the guitar again. Johnny got me playing the piano again. I haven't played for about 4 years. I mean, he's been a very positive influence on us already, and we're starting to write new music. We've got our album out. You can hear some of it on myspace.com/Vicky and Kanicki, and you can get an autographed copy at VickyLizzie.com. So we're doing things. We're writing screenplays. Jeff is writing his book. So, you know, everything is coming into place. And
tell him where they can get the CD again.
Tell us where we can get the CD.
MySpace.com, you can hear some of the music. It's Vicki and Kenicki. It's spelled V-I-K-K-I and K-E-N-I-C-K-I-E. And if you want an autographed copy, you can get it at VickiLizzie.com.
Hey, can I get a hickey from Kenicki?
You know what? You've got permission.
Nice.
Hey. Next time you and Jeff see each other, go right ahead.
Good. All right, it's a day.
Oh, no, he wants to know what I'm getting him into right now. Yeah, I'm warning you out again, honey.
Just enrolled into another program.
Yeah.
I'm promising a hickey.
Exactly. You know, before I let you guys go, there's something I want to tell Jeff, if you could put him back on.
Yeah, hold on. Jeff,
And while they're doing that, just remember, it's not a success. It's a process.
It's a work in progress. So then why are you coming up with...
From Kenicki is forever.
Yes, I want one, baby.
That's right.
You got it coming, girl.
I want to tell you something, Jeff, in a second, but I want to just ask Johnny a question off of what he said. So if this is a work in progress, not a success, why do these interviews?
Why do these interviews?
Yeah.
Here's my goal with Jeff. I want Jeff to be on stage speaking about his story. But you have to be the message that you bring. And right now we're turning his mess into a message. It's a process. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. I mean, there's no poetic answer. The answer is we're coming forward saying Jeff is in the process. Watch the process.
All right. Fair enough. Now, Jeff, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I used to think, and I don't know but how dangerously he feels about this, but I really used to look down on addicts. I used to get angry with them saying, look what they're doing to themselves. This is horrible. They can stop. Clean yourself up. It's frustrating to watch. Until I saw you on Celebrity Rehab, and it was watching you and your suffering that it really made it click into my head that it really is a disease.
Oh, it definitely is a disease. I mean, it's you know, I've cleaned up myself over the years many times, you know, and when I fell back, you know, it was always the same reasons. I stopped going to meetings, or I thought, well, I could do it this one time, or, you know, and that's the addict talking. And you got to be able to discern the addict from the healthy person in your head. You know, your head's a bad neighborhood to be in alone. You know, I know for me, I can get down on myself. You know, I can get, you know, if I'd done this or if I'd done that, and I should have, would have, could have, and that sends me down the tubes. And so I've learned, and Johnny's helped me to stop that thinking, you know, stop that stinking thinking. You're talking about success before. The success is in the trying, is in the doing, you know? I mean, we say we don't try, we just do. So if you get up in the morning, you put your shoes and pants, the socks on, you say your prayers, and you go out and you try to help people, and you do what you can to, you know, in helping others, you help yourself. It's not a totally selfless action. You know, then you're on the road to success. I mean, is success when we cross the pearly gates? I don't know. I mean, maybe there's more pearly gates after that. Maybe we have to go through. Maybe we have to come back and be taxmen. You know.
Wow. Maybe you have to come back and be Judd Hirsch.
Which is even a worse fate.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah, Vicki wants to say something.
All right.
I was overhearing that you were asking, you know, how Jeff is going to stay clean. Well, one of the things here is that the rules have changed, and I have every intention on keeping us both clean. The truth of the matter is I only became heavily addicted because of the depression I was going through that was caused by his injury. I mean, it brought us both downhill that, you know, I just drowned myself in alcohol to numb the pain and everything. And, you know, everything has changed now. Everything, the rainbow is here. The sun is out. And we have committed to each other that we are going to keep each other clean.
Well, you know what? I'm rooting for you two crazy kids.
That is
yes,
nice.
We are.
that's a very common comment that we're getting on a global scale. People are rooting for them, and I'm loving the love that the world has for them. That just really gets me excited.
Yeah, and you know what, Johnny? If they can see this through, and he's reaching his goal of educating kids about drugs and on stage speaking about it, you deserve sainthood, a medal, something.
Oh yeah, we love Johnny. As soon as I met him, I knew he was going to be a positive influence in our lives. And I'm
when I fell asleep and dropped my drink.
We'll tell that story next time, but I will say this.
That's for another time.
What's up, guys? This is Colette.
Hi, I'm Vinny Bond.
Hi, this is The Burl.
Hey, everybody. This is Justin.
On the Radio Happy Hour, you're listening to the best of Blockchain 2009.
We'll be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010.
Until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news
or catch up on all the old episodes of the year
at drblockstein.com.
That's drblockstein.com.
Now let's get you back to some more of the fun and games.
I do want to play you clips from... I did a show on Thursday with another radio host here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Her name is Judy Joy Jones. Now, here's the deal with this show. I knew nothing about it, and the thing is, she invited me on the show, and I have no idea why, because she never heard our show.
Well, she knew you were the number one comedy show.
Exactly. But if you're going to have somebody on, do a little bit of research. I did research on her.
Yeah.
But so I was a little
Absolutely.
I was a little taken aback, and I was a little bored because she didn't know what to talk to me about. So I started making some trouble. I thought to myself, let me see the most outrageous thing that I can say, and see how she reacts. So here's the first clip I'm going to play.
Well, I once had this radical thought. I thought that the one animal that zoos never had on display were humans. I thought that could be a good way of treating the homeless in a humane way. You know, we get to watch them behave and we get to watch them live. We treat them well, though, because
mm-hmm.
they're getting fed, they're getting a place. But it can add a new mammal to zoos.
Interesting. You know, that is almost exactly how it is, especially in San Fran. I don't know where you are.
New York City.
Oh, yeah. New York. Oh, my God.
Here's what I'm thinking, because it's kind of that way now where we're looking at the homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not in a controlled environment. But if,
no.
if we could put the homeless in cages, and no, listen, hear me out.
All right.
If we could put the homeless in cages, but give them food.
Right.
So I keep them warm at night. You know, that's a lot more than they're getting on the street. And the only thing they have to give in return is the permission for kids to see them on field trips and to watch humans interact with each other in a controlled environment.
Are they closed?
Well, you know, we as humans are pretty well going to be extinct. We're becoming humanoid, so we'll be downloading and uploading all this information
humanoid.
In our little brains. You know, I live in Silicon Valley or right by it. And so what you're saying is quite interesting in the fact that it's going to happen in some way. Because it is happening. You're in New York. I mean, you walk down the street. And the people, they're not in cages, but they might as well be, right? I mean,
on the surface, it sounds like, oh, what are you doing? Putting humans in cages? What is that?
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
But what we're doing is we're giving them a shelter, one. We're giving them food, and we're giving them a purpose in life. They are now on display for young school children to learn from them.
Oh, my God.
And that is my prediction for humans,
what?
You know, that we're going to be on display. And
you know, that people are going to look at us.
Now
and go,
it's her prediction.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's her prediction. My lunatic answer.
Your insane ramblings are now her mantra.
Right. All.
Her whole show next week is going to be about the caging of the year.
I mean, did you guys talk about the radio happy hour? Did you talk about Vinny? Did you talk about me?
A little bit, but she had nothing to ask me. She knew nothing about the show, and I please, if I'm going to come on, I prepare all week for my show. I don't have to prepare for her show. I was expected to have a
right.
give and take. She asked me questions, I'll talk, but she gave me nothing, and I was bored, so I decided to have fun. Now,
well,
here,
what is her show about? What is the Judy Joy Jones show
who the
about,
hell
about the damn punk twister?
I don't know. She interviews people. She had Maya Angelou on. God knows how that went, because Maya Angelou is
what?
Yeah, it's not.
What?
I hope she did research on that. But
Dave's just like, wait the fuck, I had a show, I couldn't get Maya Angelou, and this dipwit
right.
Maya Angelou.
I couldn't get her on my show when I was doing my thing. She got my, are you, oh my
you
God.
Don't you don't want Maya Angelou.
Okay.
She is so boring. She speaks
no,
so slowly.
I'm just saying that's the big person to get, and to have, you know, a show like that and get her.
Well,
what the hell?
I got one more clip because this is good, and I'll get
did
to you, Max.
Did you call her Judge Judy?
I did. How'd you know?
Because Sophia's in the chat room, and she said you did, and she also says that Judy Joy Jones doesn't know how to read chat. Either.
Right. Here's my other
okay.
clip. Don't spoil it. And Max,
okay.
I apologize. I'm going to give you your full time. Okay, Max.
No, take your time, it's all right.
Okay, hold on. I just got one more clip, and I'll give you your full time, because I do want to talk to you. All right, hold on one second. So this is the second clip. Now, she ignored the chat room the whole entire show until the very, very end, when I kind of reminded her that there was a chat room. Now, she did not know internet shorthand, like LOL. Like she,
right.
It's like she never saw before.
What?
Right. So all internet shorthand she was reading out, like LOL. Lol.
Are we in the Twilight Zone?
You gotta hear this.
Sophia's place says, she looks too pretty for Danny. Partridge Family. Low.
Why is everyone saying low?
I don't know. But that's what they're saying, and I'm just passing it on.
Low.
You think that's code for something?
You know, what is low? You know, I'd like to know myself. Does that mean
blonde?
I have no idea.
Wait a second, they're speaking another foreign language now.
Wait a minute,
La-ba-o.
Okay.
You're going along with
yeah.
it. Oh,
God. Getting out, getting bigger, not touching that are the comments.
La-ba-o. Is that
La-ba-o.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. And
Rofl. What is that? What is he trying
yeah,
to say?
Yeah, I'm looking at that. SL, what is that? Florida? Oh, my
Florida.
God.
Oh, Florida. Is there a city in Florida? R-O, Rolling Onion, Florida. What is Rofl?
What is that? TV Talk. What's R-O-F-L?
Rofl?
Give us a hint. It's got to be...
This is not real.
It's got to be code for something.
Yeah, but they're not going to tell us.
She's playing a role. She's got to be playing a role.
No, that's
come on.
It was all for real.
How the hell are you going to have an internet radio show and you don't know internet lingo? She's got to be playing some kind of role. This is ridiculous.
Lamao. Yeah, I don't know if you caught it. You were laughing. I said Lamao. Maybe it's Hawaiian.
Yes, I caught all of that crazy shit. You have got to be kidding me.
Lamao.
What's up, guys? This is Colette of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the best of Blog Scene 2009. We'll be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. Until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on any and all episodes from the past year at drblogstein.com. That's drblogstein.com. Now, back to the show.
I have Rhonda Todd on hold, and I'll tell you why I have this girl by the name of Rhonda Todd on hold, because I'm going to tell you all about the power of the Internet. Now, I know you don't need to know about the power of the Internet, because we're on the Internet. And the Radio Happy Hour is a very powerful part of the web. But I experienced something last week that that restored my faith in the power and the connectivity of the internet. I was trolling around the web looking at, you know, those, there are a bunch of them, t-shirt sites, you know, where they sell the quirky t-shirts with the funny sayings and the funny pictures and the, you know, the clever punchlines, you know, those t-shirts, they're all over the web.
Yeah.
So I was on this one particular site called Rizzo Tees. And these t-shirt sites, Rizzo Tees, Snorg is another one, they have these models that are not like, they're not runway models, they're not supermodels, they're like they're regular girls that they use to model these t-shirts. They're like girls
next
door.
That's cool,
store.
I like that.
I love that. And I was going around Rizzo Tees, and I happened to come across this one model girl modeling one of the t-shirts, and I instantly fell in love with this girl.
Would this be the girl on hold?
Yeah, let me tell the story. Don't jump ahead, Colin, please.
Sorry.
I'm a masterful storyteller. I'm trying to build suspense.
I'm enthralled over here. I'm speechless. I'm enthralled.
I like it when you're speechless, Vinny. It's some of our best shows are when you're speechless.
Boom boom, ain't it great to be Vinny?
So I fell in love with this t-shirt model. And what does anyone do these days when they get a feeling, any type of feeling? They put it on Twitter. So I tweeted about it.
Yeah.
I said,
really?
I just fell in love with the Rizzo T model wearing so-and-so shirt. And I provided a link. I want to meet Rizzo T girl.
And she can't. Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead.
Yes, not 20 minutes later. Now I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I don't want people that are listening to think that this can happen to them, because you're not on a radio show, you're not handsome like I am, you don't have the personality that I am. So chances are, if you were to put it out there on Twitter, they may not contact you. That's possible. But not 20 minutes later, after I put out that tweet, I got a Twitter back, and my heart went a flutter, and it was Rhonda.
Nice.
And I invited her onto the program. Rhonda.
Sweet.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Rhonda.
I am good, how are you?
I am fantastic, and welcome to the Radio Happy Hour. I bring you on here to impress you. I have my own radio show.
Impressive. It's working.
Great. Now,
can you need to be your wing woman, Doc?
Yes, you're going to be my wing woman.
Your wing woman.
You're my wing woman, and Vinny Bond will be my wingman. So, Rhonda, are you a model by trade, or are you just a fan of the Rizzo tea?
I am a fan of the Rizzo tea, and local people tend to come to me because of the t-shirts, and so I tend to do a lot of local Twitter stuff for them.
So you are a professional Twitterer?
You could say that, I guess. I'm becoming, yes. Big, you know, getting into the social media around St. Louis.
Okay, so people and businesses in the St. Louis area, they contact you to help them out with the social media, and part of that is you modeling their t-shirts?
You know, actually, what it usually is people randomly post things like you do, and somehow find, like you did, and somehow find me through Twitter, and a lot of t-shirt people actually ask me to model their t-shirts throughout St. Louis.
Why do you think they come to you to model t-shirts?
I have no idea, actually. It started kind of as a fun joke one day, and Rizzo Tees asked me to do it, and
You have no idea. I happen to have two ideas.
Let's hear them.
Yes, I have two ideas. You happen to wear a t-shirt quite nicely. That could be why.
Thank you.
Have you received my gift of a t-shirt?
I did. I got it yesterday. And I will be modeling it, and I'll send you pictures.
Oh, is that fantastic?
Zing! Score, Doc.
That is exciting. I cannot wait. Now, Rhonda, I hope it doesn't embarrass you, and I've never done this before, but I wrote a song for you.
Oh, okay.
And I am about to perform it for you.
Okay, so sensitive.
Yeah. Well, you really moved me. The sight of you moved me, and it moved me to write these lyrics late one night. Here it is. Now this is all me. No auto-tune. Raw talent, Rhonda. I saw her online wearing Rizzo tees. Most beautiful JPEGs I ever have seen. I'd fallen in love, she was someone I must meet. Yeah. Had to let the world know, so I sent out a tweet. Rizzo T girl, now you're on my radio show, and I'm here professing my love. Hope you didn't just hang up.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
That was pretty amazing.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And where can we see you? We can see you on rizzotees.com, right?
Yes, sir, you can.
Tell us the...
And then, of course, on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter.
What do you go by on Twitter?
Rhonda Todd.
But go to Rizzo T.
Although I should change it to the Rizzo T girl because everybody calls me her now.
Yes, you are Rizzo.
You started a trend in the last day.
Have I? Is that your new name, Rizzo T girl? Well, that is you. Now go to rizzotees.com, right? It's rizzotees with an S at the end, .com, and give us a sampling of the T-shirts that you model so the people will know where to find you. And by tomorrow on drblogstein.com, I'll post pictures of you wearing your Rizzo T's.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Tell us what tees you wear.
What tees I wear? I wear the num num t-shirts because I'm so num num num.
Yes, you are.
And then I wear, and then I have, there's a Mr. Pickle t-shirt and Friends Don't Let Friends, Tweet and Drive, and Off the Coast of Somalia. There's like pretty much every t-shirt on there in the last few weeks that have been posted, you'll see. I'm all of them.
All right, and soon you'll be wearing a Goth Blockstein t-shirt and you'll join the ranks of Colette from Edible Red.
Yeah, I modeled the Dr. Blockstein t-shirt. It was a stepping stone in my career.
It really is. I'm very excited to do that as well so I can get that posted up on all that fun stuff on my site too.
Fantastic. Rhonda, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Scott, that song was amazing.
Thank you. Someone with the musical talent that you have, that means a lot.
It was awesome.
Jesus for 2010.
Hey, everybody. This is Justin, the Mouthinator of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the best of Blogstein 2009. The hell happened to 1984? It's 2009 already? I'm so confused, everybody. Well, as you know, we will be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. I can't believe it's going to be 2010. Until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on all the old episodes from the year at drblogstein.com. That's drblogstein.com. Now back to the program show. All the best. Happy New Year.
All right. Let's welcome. We can't keep this woman waiting. She's too special to keep waiting. She's too special, too beautiful. Her name is Adrian Curry. Adrian.
What up?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Taking a break from World of Warcraft.
What is this World of Warcraft you're involved in? That is some kind of video game, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's literally like crack rock. You just can't stop.
You know, one of the things I like about you is you, oh my God, I hear myself.
Yeah, I'm hearing you too, Doc.
One of the things I like about you is that you spend your life on the internet. You do a lot online.
I have the internet on my phone. I have the internet at my home. I have the internet at my manager's office when I go there, and I jump on the internet at my agent's office as well. So I'm, like, running around all day and between meetings and stuff. I just sit there and go on the internet. Why not?
And you were on the forefront of and always a big supporter of internet radio.
Yeah.
For years, you had a show.
You know, I think it. Pardon me?
For years, you had your own show.
I think it's for like a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, but you know, it's also draining. You get a lot of trolls, and I get over it really quickly.
Why do you think you attract trolls? You seem like a very nice, though opinionated. You seem like a very nice woman.
Because people hate everybody that is more successful than them. And it doesn't even necessarily have to mean successful business-wise or life-wise. If they view you that way, instead of just being like, oh, good for her, they'll have to tear you down to feel better about themselves, which I don't always get, because I always thought that that's what, you know, Flavor of Love and stuff was for. People can watch that and feel better about themselves.
I love that.
Before you were successful, were you like that? Did you hate people that were more successful than you?
I didn't really. I guess I wasn't big on the internet before then, and I used to be a drug addict, so I didn't have enough time to think to form opinions about other people.
Would you say that being a drug addict is a good way to avoid becoming a troll?
I'd say being a drug addict is a good way to avoid most everything in life. But the thing that sucks is once you come down off your high, you are faced with reality again. So you're faced with a choice. Either you keep using whatever drug of choice it is until it kills you, and obviously I don't think marijuana falls in this category, or you choose to quit and face your life.
Yeah, what surprises me most, because you were involved in and abusing heroin, right? Was that as bad as it got?
Heroin, cocaine, I guess LSD, but you don't really get addicted to it. I guess liquid G, which I believe is like a date rape type of drug. Mushrooms, nitrous oxide, anything I could get my hands on.
So then how does a doctor prescribe you marijuana then?
Easy. I mean, I'm not doing any other drugs, and I take used marijuana for my high anxiety disorder. And if it wasn't for that, I would probably be on Xanax, which I know I would abuse, because Xanax makes you feel really good. And pot for me is so mild, but it does the trick. You know, so,
but,
I mean, I don't believe marijuana is a gateway drug. I don't believe it's addictive. The only health, I guess, conscious scare it could cause is if you smoke it. But if you vaporize it, there's absolutely no lighting of fire or smoke going in your lungs. So it has absolutely no effect on your life. Now, if you use it and you turn into a complete idiot, moron that can't accomplish anything, you know, don't do it. Kind of like someone who can't stop eating chocolate, so they gain 300 pounds. Quit, you know.
So
it's not for you.
Right. In other words, there are things that are legal that could be just as damaging and addicting.
I think there's things that are legal that are way more damaging and way more addicting than even alcohol, which I think is one of the worst drugs out there, alcohol and nicotine, which are all perfectly legal and socially acceptable.
You know, I happen to agree with as controversial as sometimes people think it is, I happen to agree with everything that you have to say about drugs, and I'm not a drug user. I've never had even a puff of marijuana in my life. But I agree with everything you say about legalizing not just marijuana, but everything.
Now, if you take aspirin, Motrin, anything, you are a drug user.
Right. And
see, I don't classify. I think people have that problem of, oh, okay, the government says methadone is good and so is morphine, so that's not bad if they give it to you. It's like, well, it's still a drug. it's just as much as the drug as caffeine or chocolate for a fat person who can't stop eating it.
Yeah, that's why I'm with you. I say legalize everything. And get it.
Yeah.
Where is this echo coming from? Is it just me?
I don't know. It's just on, but it's just you. I totally agree on the marijuana end of it, but I'm not sure that I agree with everything.
Yeah, listen, hear me out, Vinny, because here it is. You legalize everything. You have professionals doling it out so people don't overdose. You keep people off the streets. You take the profit away from the gangbangers.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You're doing that. There's no doubt. I'm just not sure where you're going.
If someone wants
to come up
to drink liquid Drano, can you really stop them? Can you go up to someone and say, "I don't want you to drink Drano, so I'm going to force my will upon you, so you don't drink liquid Drano"? I don't think that's your or anyone else's right to tell somebody else what to do with their own body. And I really hate drugs. Like, I cannot stand them. They make me sick. I hate being around people who are on them. But I just like if a woman's going to walk in and get an abortion, I don't feel I have the right to tell her what she can or cannot do with her body. So who am I to sit there and preach to somebody that they can't ruin their lives on heroin if that's their choice?
If they used all the money that they spent on the war of the war on drugs and used it to... Why am I getting an echo? Hold on a second. Let me fix this because I'm about to make a really good point and I don't want anyone to miss it. Testing one.
Hey, as a former internet radio host, getting the echo back on your own voice is the most annoying, trying, and difficult thing to deal with while interviewing somebody.
Tell me about it. And I figured out where it came from. I know who the culprit is. Oh, and it's back again, for the love of God. Well, listen,
is it me? Am I the culprit on my cell phone?
I don't know. You see, I just heard me again. I mean, look, I love the sound of my own voice, but this is annoying.
Well, because we're not hearing it clearly on this end. We're just hearing a bunch of static.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's barely recognizable.
Oh, you don't even hear a word I'm saying, huh?
No, we can hear you fine. It's the echo that's all kind of in the background.
Would you guys like me to call back on my landline and see if that
something? Let's try that, Adrian. I appreciate that.
No problem. I'll call right back.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
We'll be right back with Adrian Curry. Maybe it was from her connection. Who knows?
I'm not hearing the echo now.
Yeah, we'll find out in a second if it was. If she's the culprit.
I caught the echo when I picked up the line.
Oh, it was from her line. All right. Well.
Okay.
That's all right.
Oh, also, Doc, Sean had called in and there was so much static on his line, could barely hear him. He couldn't get a good connection.
Oh, really? Where is he calling from? Was he calling from the same fire that Catherine was?
Both out in California.
No,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on his cell.
Oh,
so.
There must be a lot of static going on in the internet today. Hey, Adrian, you're back.
Yes, I am.
Much better, much better. Now here's
is that
perfect?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Yes. Now I'm about to make my genius point. If you spend half the money that they're spending on the war on drugs to use,
which is a complete and utter failure, by the way, because everyone
oh, absolutely
it.
Right. But if you use that money to subsidize addicts' drug use, in other words, professionals would sell these drugs, doctors would sell these drugs, the government would subsidize and thus lowering the price of these drugs to get the people who are selling them on the streets out of business.
Well, you'd also put terrorists out of business, because what is their number one money-making machine besides oil? Opiate plants.
Exactly.
Opium, poppy seed, you know, all that shit there. So we legalize it, and they no longer have that stronghold. They no longer have the money to fund all their bombs and their fucking weapons. I mean, I'd highly doubt, unless they really get in with a world leader, that they're going to be getting buckets of oil to fund their weapons. They let them grow all the heroin crops for their weapons and for opium.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't you run for office?
I don't know. But you know what? If 2012 really is going to happen, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to catch a flight to the Middle East, and I'm going to roll around in opium fields.
So you're
That's
saying
what I'm going to do.
So what you're saying is if the world is going to end in 2012, the last thing that you want to be doing is rolling around in opium fields?
Just, you know what? It's been such a struggle to stay off drugs. If the world was going to end, the only drug I could think of being on to make my death, imminent death, okay, would be like a morphine-based product, and that would be heroin. I mean, who wants to die? So let's just hope it doesn't happen.
I was surprised to hear how outspoken you were against the balloon boy and his family. Someone who's made a career on reality TV. Here's
Roman Jam, I can pay every penny.
Yeah, when did I ever have my children or family lie to law officials, cost my state thousands of dollars for a rescue effort that was just an absolute hoax when real people were actually injured and needing help, and they're wasting their time on this family? See, they want to be famous, but they've done nothing to earn it. I went on a fucking reality TV show for 3.5 months with bitches, utter bitches that were like throwing laxative in my drinks. Like, they were trying to sabotage me every turn because I kept my cool. No matter what, I kept my cool. And I earned winning that show, and I earned all the jobs that I got afterwards. Like, I worked for it. And these people just want something magically handed to them, fame, fortune, notoriety, and it's like, well, fuck you. The only thing you're going to get is the notoriety of being a douchebag.
So you're more upset at how easy they got on TV than their illegality, or is it both?
Well, first off, it's desperate fame horn. Secondly, he locked his child in an attic for 6 hours so he can pull his little hooks. That's imprisonment. That's also child abuse. You know, that's fucked up. I'm sorry, what parent does that? It's just, it's not right. Everything that they do just makes my skin crawl. Like, he's a storm chaser. He has this internet radio webcam show showing him chase storms. He brings his little children and chases F5 tornadoes. Can you imagine being 6 years old? Shit would fly out of my ass. I'd be so scared. That is torturous. They're really terrible people, and I think this just highlights how awful they are. And just because they're on Wife Swap doesn't mean they're going to get a reality show. Hell, I know a whole bunch of celebrities. Some of them are pretty big, and they can't get a reality show. So how do these people think they are?
When are you going back on TV?
I don't know. It's been so fun being off of it.
You grew tired of it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it was very invasive, but the worst part about it is it has a really negative effect on my husband. My husband is really strange. Like, he's a celebrity who, he wants attention, but only when he wants it. So if you're walking in a grocery store and, like, someone starts pestering him, he gets really claustrophobic and stuff, and he starts acting like a dick. And when you're filming and you've got all these people in your face, like, naturally you get irritated, but he's only allowed to talk to me, so he would take it out on me. Our life is much more calmer and happier without cameras in it.
Are people surprised that this marriage has lasted, a marriage born on reality TV?
They are, but I don't really give a crap what anyone thinks about my marriage. I mean, frankly, I wish I would have, like, you know, bet for ourselves in Vegas. Made a lot of money. But, you know, I'm from Chicago. I'm a Midwestern girl. And when I was saying that I liked him, I liked him. And if I had an ulterior motive and I wanted to do something else, I should have went after the supermodel guy on the show that had every single connection I could ever dream of to the very job that I was pursuing, modeling.
You can have children.
Yeah,
you've been on, you know, the competition reality shows and the reality shows based on your life. I mean, which one do you like better? How different are being on, you know, those two different types of reality TV?
Oh, my God. The one on my, just about my life. Because when I went on Top Model, I was a nobody. And, I mean, they really, you're sleep deprived. They make sure you don't sleep. They don't feed you regularly. They're trying to make you crack. Like, it is really, it's like weird, torturous boot camp. And it's like, it's just awful. And you're not allowed to watch TV. You're not allowed to listen to the radio. You can't even read newspapers or magazines. Because they don't want you talking about any current events because that could screw up the show.
Right.
So, because, you know, the show goes into post-production. It doesn't come out for 6 to 8 months. So they don't want you talking about something that was current 8 months ago. So you're left with only each other. And I would rather that be just my husband and I than me and 12 bitches. You know, 12 really, really mean bitches.
You ever hear from Tyra Banks?
Not ever since I told her to go fuck herself.
Did you do that? Why? I never heard this story.
Oh, it was all over the news. I basically called Top Model out for never, ever making a Top Model. Said it was kind of pathetic. That I'm the most famous one and the most successful one, and it's not because of modeling. It's because I, you know, used my brain and said, oh, people like my personality. Perhaps I should go showcase that. But they owe me $15,000 for my supposed Revlon campaign, and I still haven't been paid, and that was 2003.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, the show has done wonders for Tyra Banks' career now.
Absolutely. That's what the show was for.
Yeah.
It was only to further her career. And I figured that out when I would reach out to her, want to go out to dinner and stuff, and all of a sudden she's like just not calling back. And then I'd ask her for advice on something that she kind of caused. So I was just seeing if she could offer any advice for me to get out of something, which was I won a contract with Wilhelmina. And she had promised them that she would use them every season. They were the only agency willing to give her show a chance. And once her show became successful, she dumped Wilhelmina for the next season for, like, IMG or something. And Wilhelmina was very angry, and I was in a 2-year contract with them. And they told me to my face, they said, you know what, you ain't going to work. We're not going to push you. It was awful. And that is why I went into reality television, and I was asking her advice on that. Like, is there any way I can get out of this contract, do you think?
Wow.
Because you kind of, like, pooped on them, which then shit all over me.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no wonder why you want to be rolling around in opium. You mind taking a call? This is Mike. Mike.
Hello.
Yes, Mike.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just had a question. I was wondering what your thoughts were on sort of the responsibility of people in the spotlight, celebrities, to sort of get involved in social issues. You are afforded many different kinds of venues and platforms to influence people's consciousness. And with all the problems and the grievances that people are going through, what responsibility, if any, do you think celebrities have?
Honestly, I don't think they have any. It's nice when they do step up and stand up for things they believe in or raise money for charity, but I find the majority of them are quite stupid. Find it difficult to speak without a script. Like, I don't think they're really good, you know, spokespeople for most things, and I hate saying it that way, but it is true. I still get baffled, like some people that I always respected and thought, wow, this person's amazing, blah, 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 and you go and talk to them, and it's literally like there's just a feather blowing in the wind, and, you know, instead of their brain. It's just,
but
I guess.
You're doing it, though, right? You're speaking up for what you believe in.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people would also argue that I probably shouldn't because they would assume that I'm a moron as well.
No, but you're not. In fact, I urge everybody to read the blogs over at Daily Buds because you do write interesting stuff, and it's thought-provoking stuff, And you know what? I agree with a lot of it.
I just wrote my first article in a magazine, which is Cush LA, who's like friends with DailyBuds.com. They're almost one and the same. And it was about the, it's nothing really about weed. Like, I threw one little mention in there just to make the stoner smile who got high and decided to read the actual articles in the magazine. But it was about the GOP, the Grand Old Party, and how amazing, you know, the Republican Party used to be and all the amazing people who were in it, and how nowadays, like, I look at it, and almost as much as Democrats, but a little more so. I think Bush has tainted things for me, but I just find the entire party vile and that they need to just clean it out like flushing a toilet. You can't keep pooping in the same bowl and not flushing, and I feel like that's what the Republican Party's been doing. Because right now, who's their spokesperson? Rush Limbaugh? Oh, please kill me. Glenn Beck? That's like, you know, Democrats saying Keith Olbermann is our leader, and it's like, no, sorry, I'd rather it be Obama. I mean,
listen to you. You are,
thanks.
You know what? You are no moron. You actually know what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, me and my husband like to watch TV, but only the History Channel, Discovery Channel, CNN, MSNBC, and fake news once in a while to see what the extreme right is thinking.
What about kids? Are you and your husband going to have kids? Is the biological clock ticking?
You know, I find that the smarter a couple is and the more that they think, the least likely they are to have kids. And if they do, it's always like one or two. I don't know what it is. But if it happens, it happens. I'm already kind of a little freaked out because I'm 27 and I don't have any children. I'm like, you know, just being from Illinois, that's kind of unheard of.
Where you say if it happens, it happens, does that mean that you're not taking any precautions for it not to happen?
No, not really.
You're not taking any precautions, so it could happen.
No, but it could, but I've got some health issues, so it might not, and I'm not one for artificial insemination because it just freaks me out, and I don't want to have a litter of babies like everyone else is having.
That could get you back on reality TV.
Oh, yeah, woo! How about not? I'd rather release One Night in Curry before going to a reality show about having a litter.
I mean, it's perfect. It's already got the Brady Bunch name.
A whole bunch of my husbands running around.
He doesn't have any kids?
Hell no. If he did, they'd be my age. He's a year older than my mom.
Your family likes him?
Yeah, they do. I mean, my mom's my mom, so whenever he's pissing me off, of course, she's like, ah, oh, goddamn this prick, calling me, but she does like him. But, you know, parents and families, there's always someone better for their baby out there. You know what I'm saying? Or there just simply isn't anybody better for their baby. Like, just they don't exist. So
yeah. Well,
I'm the youngest and the only girl, so that's how it goes.
Are you happy?
Define happiness.
I guess that's a no. I mean, I think that if you're happy, you know if you're happy.
Well, to say you are either one emotion or the other is to cancel out every other emotion in between them. Kind of reminds me of Donnie Darko. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not. And you're blowing my mind with every emotion with the no emotion. Happy. Are you happy?
There's a whole spectrum of emotions. Well, am I happy? Am I confused? Am I excited? Am I depressed? I mean, my father-in-law just recently passed away. He currently resides in an urn behind my head on my desk, so that doesn't make me happy. I'm a mixture.
Are you enjoying?
Many.
I think the question was really: are you enjoying your marriage?
Not really. Are you enjoying life?
Okay, life. I thought
life.
You...
Life is an amazing thing that can either be incredibly good or incredibly bad, but it can't just be one of them. It's always got to be a mix. But as of right now, life is good. Call me in 2 days, life might not be good.
Hey, I know how you feel. Adrienne Curry, you know, read her stuff on dailybuds.com. Check her out on MySpace.
Or you can go to my Twitter and hear a constant stream of my useless, you know, fragmented thoughts.
You know, I see you on Twitter, and it seems like you're always fighting off these trolls you talk about. People love to be mean to you.
You know, I ignore most of them, but some of them always say that one fucking thing that I can't let go. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll just be like, you're a bitch, you're a cunt, nobody likes you, and I fucked your mom in the ass. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But
I apologize. That was out of line.
No, I'm just trying to ignore it. I had a friend go on there for me and just block a whole bunch of bitches for me, which was really nice. Because I just didn't want to see what they were saying.
Well,
hey, you pay someone $20, they'll give you an hour or two of their time.
Oh, that's a good deal. I should do that. Adrienne Curry, I appreciate your time.
I'd want the buds.
Yeah. Vinny will do it if you pay him in some grass. Weed. What are the kids calling
it
these days?
That's not fair because I you know, always smoke with my friends. That's the stoner way. You give and you don't expect to receive, but if you do it, that's nice too.
If you run out, would you consider smoking your father-in-law?
Oh my God. You know, he did just die. That might be a little too soon, a little too close.
I'll ask you that in 2 days also.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure the ashes of some dead old guy would get me really rough.
Well, it'll save you the time from rolling around in opium. Adrienne Curry, I appreciate your time and thank you for calling back, and I applaud you for your support of internet radio from the beginning.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show, and may you plow on with your internet radio show.
Some may call you the Marconi of internet radio. You're a trailblazer.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
many idiots were talking about stupid shit far before I did on the internet.
Hey, y'all, this is Vinny Bond of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the Best of Blogstein 2009. We'll be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. But until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on any and all episodes from the past year at drblogstein.com. Hope you have a great Christmas, happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa, happy holidays. Let's get back to the show.
Oh, I wanted to ask Coolio, do you think Coolio would rap me like a happy birthday song? Would that be like too demanding as my first?
Well, I mean, he's here as a guest. He's not here to perform. Yeah. He's not our trained animal to do tricks for us, but you're welcome to ask.
Let me put it this way. Out of the three of us, you asking him are the only one with a shot to actually get him to do it, okay?
Well, here's the thing. We have a little bit in common.
What's that?
Well, you know, I mean, okay, I think we should ask him.
Well, what do you have in common with Coolio?
I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Hey Ya video is getting on a lot of hip-hop shows, which is crazy because, you know, obviously we're not a hip-hop act, but MTV.com put us on their hip-hop page, and MTV Canada put Edible Red's new video on Sucker Free. So I think we both have a little bit in common that we're both like, even though he's like a legendary MTV artist and we're just like a band that got on MTV like once or twice, like we're like on hip-hop shows. So I thought maybe that would...
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. It's a little bit of a stretch,
we might
call
be
it.
Stretching it, but why don't we ask Coolio what he thinks? Because he's...
Okay.
He's right around the corner there, Doc.
Why, you know, what is he on the line?
Yes, sir.
How do you know he's on the line?
Yeah, what's up? I'm Coolio with the Flow, the neighborhood ghetto with Dr. Shapiro, down to go to a table, and he's like, it's a representative replacement. I came up out the basement to make a statement and let y'all know the song. You are not cooking with fire, you're not cooking with grease, you cooking with Coolio. You know what I'm saying? With a little bit of money, a little bit of know how, you too can become a kitchen pimp. Coolio, you know what I'm saying?
Shaka Zulu.
Coolio.
Hey, what's up? What's going down? Now, what do we have in common with you?
Okay, so, well, it was my birthday, but that's not what we have in common. It was yesterday. So, I'm in a rock band called... It was last night, and I'm in recovery mode.
But
oh, Shaka
so,
Zulu.
Shaka Zulu. So, Colette, so here's what...
You need a
what
solo.
I think Colette was hoping that maybe you could give her a verse of Happy Birthday, Coolio, to make her just feel so much better this evening.
Don't stop. It's your birthday. You don't party like it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Shaka Zulu. What's the more important work? I had a birthday down. How do you?
That was amazing, Coolio. Thank you.
You know, it is what it is. That's all it is.
Hi, this is The Burl from the Radio Happy Hour, and you are listening to the best of Blogsteen 2009. We're all going to be taking a little time off and basking in the warm sunshine since Dr. Blogsteen is so graciously flying us down to the Caribbean for a much-needed rest. We'll be drinking mojitos and... What? He's not paying for the trip? We're supposed to pay for ourselves? Hey, this is The Burl from the Radio Happy Hour, and I'll be freezing my cojones off while we wait to come back with live, all-new shows on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. Until then, you can catch up on any of the shows you might have missed over the past year at drblogsteen.com. That's drblogsteen.com. Now back to the program. Where's my coat?
Are you people? I haven't spoken to you in years.
I know. What have we missed?
I'm that's my question to you.
Well,
did you get married yet?
Yeah, I got married. I'm just wondering, have you gotten the medication figured out so everything's running smoothly again?
You know what? I am very even these days.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad. You know, every once in a while, the doctor has to, you know, tweak the medication to get you back running correctly.
You know, it's absolutely true. Dr. Blockstein, how come Vinny's speaking so much? Did you give him a raise?
No, we promoted him to a co-host.
To?
Co-host,
oh, my
yeah.
God, I'm so excited.
Don't get too excited, because really we promoted him because he was falling down on the job of producer. Burl happened to be a better producer, so we had to give...
Wait a minute. Now it's Vinny. Any women on the show now?
Yes. Reality Alley is filling in for... This is your last week with us, isn't it, Allie?
Yep, final week with you guys.
Yeah. Next week, I'm not sure who's going to be with us next week, but we'll fill the Dangerous Lee spot permanently in January.
Now, let me just ask you, I was on that show with Dange.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we were talking, chatting. The woman was microwaving for her kid, and she zapped herself off the show. What the hell happened? If the family broke up?
Yeah, you were here for it. It was...
I know, but I'm having a senior moment. I don't remember what happened after.
Yeah, well, she did she microwaved something a bunch of weeks before the second microwave incident. She was microwaving something,
okay.
And in the middle of the interview, I'm hearing beeping noises, and it was very distracting. And you know how short my attention span is. I get distracted easily, Justin. So then she did, a couple weeks later, she microwaved again after I already asked her, please don't do that during the show. Turn your mic off if you're going to be doing it, because it is distracting to me and the guest, really. They don't need to be hearing beeping, random beeping noises. It's confusing.
Right.
So Otto Olsen is the lead singer. Now, what's interesting about Otto, aside from his name, is that as much musical talent that is in the UK. Otto, you traveled from the UK to the United States to put your band together.
Originally, I was in a band back in England, and as bands do, we had a bit of a fallout. And then I decided to just do my own tour, write my own stuff, and I came to the States. I went to San Francisco for 3 weeks, and I came here just to do some writing, so it was going to be a solo record when I got back. And then I went to LA for a while, and then New York, and then I came back to England for a bit, recorded some more stuff. Then I came back. I met someone from Milwaukee, so I came to Milwaukee. And then I just ended up staying here.
But
the rest is history.
So you had a band in Great Britain, and you broke up.
That's right, yeah.
So now, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip from... I intro'd you with the song Certain Boys, which is a good song. I'm going to play a clip of Distance Equals Time. Now, but before I do that, I got to ask you, Dangerous. First off, you're microwaving in the middle of an interview. Were you doing that?
You know what? Watch it.
Well, people hear noises that come over your phone. Microwave before the interview.
Okay, I'm at home doing this show. I do have a child, okay? So excuse me if I do homely things while I'm on the air, okay?
But microwaving, it's beeping.
Check
it's
your
it's
attitude.
Distracting.
Check it.
All right, I'm playing a clip of...
You're making more of a big deal out of it by complaining about it, Blockstein.
All right.
Move on.
I'm moving on, and I'm playing a clip of Distance Equals Time. Thank you very much. Into Arcadia. So then the week later, knowing that household chores during the show irritate me, she decided in the midst of we were trying to find a guest. I know it was me and it was Burl was there with us. Burl, correct me if I'm telling the story incorrectly, but a guest was late.
I was trying to figure
out what was going on. And because
right.
the guest was late, we had, you know, time to kill. We needed to have a discussion and talk. But Dangerous Lee chose
right.
to use that opportunity to not only do this, but announce on the air that she is going to empty her dishwasher. So what's going on with our guest?
I have no word yet. We're still waiting.
Well, call him back and read them the riot act. Tell how unprofessional this is.
Okay, I'm
really?
Going to load my dishwasher since we're doing this.
What are you talking? You're unloading your come on, Dangerous. Don't.
No, I'm going to load my dishwasher. I'm loading my dishwasher.
I don't want you doing household chores during
the
show.
Listen,
we went through this last
week.
We
don't have a guest. I got shit to do.
No, Dangerous Lee, we don't have a guest. That's all the more reason I need you to focus on the show. Have some respect for the program. For goodness sake.
I'm right here. I can multitask. Hello?
Well, then don't tell me
Hello?
That.
Hello?
Don't. What?
Hello?
What'd you say, bro?
I shouldn't be dusting right now.
Why don't you get your panties out of your ass and just
what'd you
deal
say?
With it?
What'd you
Jeez.
Say, bro?
Does that mean that I shouldn't be dusting right now?
I don't care what you're doing.
I know,
but
he's such an idiot.
No, I am not.
He gets
no.
all excited.
No, no, Dangerous. You do this to get a rise out of me. You know it irritates me, and you do
no,
it.
No, I don't.
No, then
no,
why
I don't.
Else?
You,
no, why else would you,
you
tell?
You need to calm down.
No, I'm not going through this again like I did last week. Why else would you tell me that you're loading up a dishwasher in the middle of the program because we don't have a guest?
Well,
as if what we're doing now.
What are you gonna do?
As if what
are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
As if what?
What you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do?
As if what we're
I'm loading the dishwasher. What are you gonna do?
As if what we're doing.
Are you gonna come and stop me from loading my dishwasher? What's up? Huh? What? You know what?
As if what we're doing now.
Big deal.
You're
Big
not,
deal.
You're not gonna let me
I'm loading my dishwasher. Zippity doo. Who
gonna,
gives a fuck?
You're not gonna let me finish. A, are you not gonna let me finish a sentence?
No, because you're retarded. You make a bigger deal out of it by yelling and screaming, acting like a baby because somebody's loading their fucking dishwasher. If I hadn't said anything, you probably would have never known I was loading.
That's exactly the point. Why say something? Why not just carry on
why
a conversation?
Why get so mad about it? Did I slap your mama?
No, but you...
That's something to get mad about.
No, but
mad because
you know what?
I'm loading my dishwasher.
No, in a way...
Get a life.
No, in a way you did...
Get a life.
You're going to let me speak? In a
get
way...
Get a life.
You're not going to let me speak? I'm going to...
No, because I don't want to hear it. Because you're not going to talk to me, an adult woman, that is older than you, like that.
That doesn't
so,
mean
no, you
that,
don't get
no,
talk.
Age has nothing to do with that. Burl.
I don't want to hear it.
Burl. She's not gonna let me speak
Mommy,
because
Daddy don't fight.
Burl, she's not gonna let me speak because she's an adult woman and she's older than me. So instead she's gonna sing zippity doo dah over me like a immature baby. You sound like a moron right now. Come on.
Oh, do you? La 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 la. So do you. Hey, I'm joining the club. You want to act a fool? I'm going to act a fool, too. That's the way it goes, babe. You done?
Me? Yours is the only voice I hear right now. I'm waiting for you to finish your symphony of moronic.
Are you done? Is our guest on ready yet, bro?
No. No, we got nothing.
Exactly.
No, it is not exactly. We were having a conversation. No, we were having a conversation.
This is the show. This is the show. This is the show right here because we don't have a guest.
No, this is not. No. Dangerously, I'm about 2 seconds
away. Dip.
All right. You can come back next week, Dangerous. There will be no more Dangerously. Let me end all the...
For now.
Well, no. It's over. It's done. It's over and done with.
You don't think any healing time could possibly, you know, reunite it? No?
No. Well, I'll tell you. Here's what if you listen to the show, you know, 2 weeks ago we had a big blowout, and it happened on the air.
I heard it.
Yeah.
It was great radio, by the way.
It was very good radio, but you know what? It bummed me out. It really... It upset me. I didn't like it. I thought it sounded ugly.
Of course, yeah.
It was, and listening back to it, it was rough to listen to. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. It may have made for good radio, and you know what? It was, it did, because a lot of people didn't know whether it was real, whether it was fake, whether it really happened, whether we planned it, it was scripted. No, it was real,
yeah.
And it was raw,
it was real.
And I thought it was ugly.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, and she quit in the middle of that show. I hung up on her because she wouldn't let me speak. It was just noise at that point, and I had to do it. I didn't feel bad about cutting her off that night because I had to. The show would never go on. I would open my mouth, she would start singing. It got ridiculous. So I had to cut her off then, and I did feel bad about it. I called her afterwards. Before I called her, before the show ended, she sent me an email resigning, a resignation email, and I had Burl, you called, right? You called her to try to get her to call back in the show.
Yep.
She said she said she wasn't going to call back in, but she would think about coming back. I felt bad about hanging up on her and the way it ended, so I called her afterwards, and I begged her to come back. I mean, I really wanted her to come back. I loved what we did together, Dangerously and I. We built the show to number one over the 2 years.
Absolutely.
We had a lot of fun, but it hadn't been the same, and that's what led to the fight. Eventually she said, all right, I'll come back. I'll do the show. And I was excited, and I announced it. Dangerously is coming back. I put it on Facebook. But I wanted to clear... that's announcing it. You put it on Facebook. It's out there for... Yeah. Facebook.
It's official.
It's official. It's on Facebook. And we're now a couple. Me and Dangerously are back together. But I wanted to clear the air before we went back on the air. So I was emailing with her. We had a couple phone calls. And it was apparent that the... issues that existed that led to that big blow up were never going to change. It was just a agree to disagree type of thing. And I did not want to risk another blow up like that because it bummed me out for an entire week. And it really upset me. I didn't.
Oh, I can imagine.
I didn't. And you know, Kala, because last week you compared it to being in a band where you break up.
Basically, I've been in a band that has been on the verge of breaking up for about 6 years, and we never do it, but we just talk about it nonstop. So, you know, I'm kind of understanding where you guys are coming from.
Right. So we decided that, or at least I decided that she was right the first time. Dangerously was right the first time.
Okay.
It was time to move on. I accepted her resignation. Next week we will have Coolio on the program. He will help us. Speaking of Thanksgiving, he's got a cookbook, Cooking with Coolio. He's going to help us make Thanksgiving dinner.
Dude, who's your co-host next week?
Next week is a female singer, not named Colette McLafferty. I'm sorry, her name is Dasha. She's been on the show before. I feel bad for Colette. She comes a week before Screech. She misses Screech. She misses Coolio. Sorry.
Looks like I'm going to have to be cutting somebody's phone wires and internet wires.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to have to
I like
down.
It. I like it. I like it. You are cutthroat. You'll do anything to be on the Radio Happy Hour. I like it. Do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very...
Hello.
Yeah. Do it, Colette.
Can I ask the stupid question?
Yeah, you can ask any. You tend to, yes, and you can. You've been known to, yes.
Then why is not Colette just here, not here next week? And don't tell me because you asked somebody else to be on. Because you know what? Colette's the one we want. So why are we screwing around?
Why are we screwing around? Colette is the one we want. We've tried the rest.
I mean,
we've
done. Jail, it's over. Sorry, Misha, Masha, Wacha, Wusha, Wucha, whatever your name is. We have our co-host, and we'd love to have you on as a guest within the next couple of weeks. But in terms of you co-hosting the show, don't need you.
Should we do that? All right. we can do that.
I mean, what's up?
Do you want to do that, Colette? Should we name you co-host now?
I don't want to, like...
Did you get down on one knee?
I'm gonna get down on one knee and ask her properly. I'm gonna do it. Well, first let me ask Burl for permission. Burl.
Okay.
Burl,
I think we're gonna have requests from the chat room that you do not sing sing anything at all.
I won't sing.
Colette can sing. Not you.
I won't sing, but I will. I'm asking you for permission, Burl. Permission to. Invite Colette on as our new co-host to replace Dangerously on a permanent basis.
I think it is about time.
And
I think it's been far too long.
And Vinny, do I have the same permission from you?
Well, let's think about this and rewind the tape a little bit. Who the hell is the one that brought this up?
This on your twos.
I
mean, no offense to anybody else, but come on.
We're sitting here. Colette is like, wow, I'm real bummed I can't be here for Coolio. And you're like, yeah, isn't it really bad that she couldn't be here for Screech? It's giving me, you know,
okay,
God,
Vinny,
damn it.
Vinny.
You wanted to be the friggin' co-host.
Vinny.
Colette.
Vinny, I'm enjoying your monologue, but my knee is down, and it's a wood floor, and it hurts. Can I continue, please?
Oh, God, I wish I could be seeing this online.
Boom, boom, ain't it great to be Vinny.
Colette?
Doc.
I've enjoyed every week that you've co-hosted with us. I feel that you have the right attitude, the right energy to be our permanent co-host. I feel your lack of TV watching is a little weird.
You've got
but it
me
brings
to
a fresh
that.
Perspective.
You've got me to offset that, dude.
I do have you to offset that. So, would you be the new co-host of the Radio Happy Hour?
I do.
We can take guest off of your name in the guest.
Hell
comment.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah.
You know,
congratulations.
Next week. Thank you. I'm psyched.
Thank you for listening to part two of the Best of Blogstein 2009. Tune in next week when Dr. Blogstein, Colette, Vinny Bomb, The Burl, and Justin the Malfinator. We'll be back with a whole new year of the Radio Happy Hour. Until then, have a happy new year and
piss on your shoes.